The earthquake in Turkey. When did we lose our civility? The Super Bowl. Jesus gets us. Do we get him? All this and more. Next step number 766, February 22nd, Vartanants 2023 begins right now.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the next step with Father Vazgen. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Vazgen brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. There's no need to check your brain in at the door. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
The fractured femur. That's our starting point today, okay? The fractured femur. Did you know that Margaret Mead, this is a famous story, but worth repeating, especially today for today's topic. Margaret Mead said that the first evidence... Oh, Margaret Mead? I'm surprised. Yes, Margaret Mead was an anthropologist in the 20th century. I've got to get used to this. You know, the other day we spoke about Catholicos Vazgen in an Armenian gathering, and it occurred to me that, you know, he's been gone for almost 30 years. And there was a time where you wouldn't need to qualify who this person is. You say Vazgen the First, the Catholicos. Now I had to explain to people who he was. He was one of the longest reigning Catholicoi of the Armenian Church, 39 years from 1955 to 1994, and he took the reins during some very turbulent, terrible times in the Armenian Church, as well as in the world. It was communism at its height, and here he was running the Armenian Church, yes, in an atheistic country, a remarkable man. And I had to explain that the other day. Yeah, you know, I just couldn't get away with just saying Vazgen the First. There's a whole generation who didn't know him. And so what do we expect? Of course, Margaret Mead. Margaret Mead was an anthropologist. If you remember back in 1999, there was all kinds of people, all kinds of organizations that were doing People of the Century. And Time Magazine had a rather big campaign. In fact, there was some stuffing of the ballot boxes and stuff like that. It was pretty intense competition for Person of the Century. And Margaret Mead was my choice. That's who I thought should have been Person of the Century. And the reason was because she had done so much to change the way we understand one another and have the capacity to live together in this world. Of course, they found another relativist, namely Albert Einstein, who became the Person of the Century. But cultural relativism was Margaret Mead's field. In other words, can we look at others and understand that in their culture, this was okay, or this is the way things were done, without making a judgment statement, okay or not? Let's say this is the way it's done. And, you know, this became the cornerstone of In His Shoes. In His Shoes is walking in the shoes of others. Why? So you have empathy, so you understand what that person is going through. So Margaret Mead, just a giant. She was an anthropologist, and she was the one who pointed to the femur. Okay, so this is like a Jeopardy. That's the answer, femur, and the answer is femur. What's the question? Well, when did humans become civilized? When did humans become civilized? They asked Margaret Mead. At what point did they become civilized? And you know, you would think that maybe she would point to when they, I don't know, invented the wheel or something like that. But they became civilized, she says, 15,000 years ago. Let me just read this. The first evidence of civilization was 15,000 years ago. Fractured femur found in an archaeological site. A femur is the longest bone in the body, linking hip to knee. In societies without the benefits of modern medicine, it takes about 6 weeks of rest for the fractured femur to heal. Hmm. 6 weeks of rest. Well, we can do that now, right? You put in for disability, you get your check, and you put your legs up, and you get your 6 weeks. No, not so 15,000 years ago. If you had a broken femur, it basically meant you'd die. Right? Because you couldn't hunt, you couldn't leave, you couldn't run away from animals that might come and attack you. If you were the main course on some other animal's dinner menu, you couldn't run away. Your femur, it was busted. So the way she figures that the point at which we became civilized, she says, is when she saw a broken femur bone that had healed. And to her, that meant that somebody had to sit with the person. Somebody had empathy and felt for that person. Somebody helped that person. Civilization. That's where civilization began, she said. And it was interesting for me because I just heard this wonderful young chaplain that works at our diocese, Diran. He's a fantastic young man. And he was sharing this story with us at the clergy meeting a few days ago. And as he was saying this, I thought to myself, you know, when did we lose that civilization? Because that's the other side of the story, right? When did we lose that civilization? And he said, well, what do you mean, lose the civilization? Well, I just really felt that. I felt that recently with what are the disgusting displays that I saw after the earthquake in Turkey. Just made me question, when did we stop becoming so civilized? So you've all heard by now that there was an overwhelming, horrendous earthquake in Turkey. And at this point right now, we're 10 days off from that from the earthquake. At this point, they're estimating over 40,000. It could be as high as 100,000 casualties. People who died. People who are trapped under the rubble. And every day you watch these pictures, you watch these videos coming out of Turkey, and the human suffering is immense. And sadly, in the midst of all that, there were people who turned it into a political opportunity, turned it into an opportunity to bring up issues from the past and comment, bizarre comments, that, you know, you're really ashamed that another human being might say something like this. Things like, they had it coming to them. Thank you, God. Thanks for taking care of them, God. And it is really disheartening. It's disgusting when you really, really think about it, because this is just human suffering. And it got me to thinking more and more, you know, okay, like, you know, at the point that they found the femur 15,000 years ago, they realized that civilization at that point was starting because they had compassion for their brothers and sisters. And you have to now ask yourself, when did civilization end that we don't have that compassion? I mean, that's an interesting question, right? At what point did we get like this? What is it about these borders that we've set up that we can say that man is a Turk, this man is a Syrian, this man is an Armenian, and therefore, I will assist one, I will refuse assistance to another. What is it? What does that? Well, history plays a role in that, right? What has happened in the past, and our refusal to not forget about those negative things. It's interesting because between Armenia and Turkey, just today there was an article that appeared that because Armenia has extended some help, that it may start working to mend the relationships between Turkey and Armenia. And this news was greeted with, as you might expect, both ways. People who applauded it and people who said, oh, they're up to something, suspicion and so on. And you go, when did we stop becoming civilized? What was that point? Just like the femur, you find the femur and you see the femur and you see that it's been repaired. It means something. It means that at that point, somebody helped out so that individual could live. Somebody had empathy. There was support. There was care. There was civilization. So what was the point at which we lost that civilization? How was it possible that during the 20th century, there was not only one genocide in 1915, but a string of genocides that went all the way through to Rwanda in the 1990s? So every decade saw genocide, an idea of exterminating an entire group of people. At what point did that break down? Well, you go back and you look at it and you see that wars are just part of the human condition is to acquire more and more. And we're seeing it play out right now in what's going on in the Ukraine. And there isn't a thing that anybody could do about it. We're just watching it play out. And so now let's get to the next one. And so what do you do about all this? You know, there's this horrible event that takes place in Turkey. And people are now reacting in different ways. Because you have to react. It's coming into your house. This happened, the first time this ever happened was in Vietnam, when the Vietnam War, 1960s, was going on. For the first time, they started broadcasting the pictures, and they were now coming into our comfort zones, so that you were sitting at home, you were eating dinner with your family, and these pictures were coming from Vietnam, and people started questioning. They started questioning, what are we doing? Who are these people? Why are we bombing them? Why are we dropping bombs on these villages? What's going on here? And so you see the power of the medium, right? The power of the media to bring these images here. But what are you going to do about it? So we're getting all these images coming from Turkey. Well, there's a wide variety of responses. And this has also been interesting to me. Not only is there people who have been negative about, you know, their response to Turkey, but they've been negative and positive, I should say, to the way they're going to address the situation. So obviously, there's always the positive people who, no matter what, are always there. They're ready to send out a check, and we'll send a check of support, because you realize at some point that, hey, I can't go out there. I can't physically move those rocks, those stones, but let me pay to at least do some humanitarian work, get some food to those people, get some shelter, support the first responders, and so on. Then there's the people who want to help, but they're a little bit cynical. No, you don't blame them, right? Like, who's going to get this money? I send this money out there. Is it going to end up with some fat cat in the government? Well, yeah, we've had experiences like this. Okay, there's that trust level. And so who's going to watch? Who's going to guard? Make sure that the money goes? You know, I mean, everybody listening to me right now, I know if I could tell you that you give them a bit of money and it'll go to put food in this person's mouth, you're ready to give it, no matter, no questions asked. I know that. I know that of my listeners. But we don't have that guarantee. You don't know where that money's going to go. So you start questioning it. And we went through this with Armenia, and we started looking at, well, okay, let's just suppose that off of the top, there's going to be 20% that's going to go in. It's sort of like the finder's fee, right? a service fee, so to speak, right? If you're going to spend send $100, well, figure that $80 is going to get to that child over there. Yeah, but what if it's $50? What if it's only $40 and $60 is going to go to some fat cat? Okay, these are the questions that people are starting to ask. So that's another group of people. Then there's the people who are politicizing this. What do I mean by this? Listen to this. Are you ready for this? This earthquake takes place in Turkey. Well, we're not going to say Turkey. We're going to call it Western Armenia. We're going to call it Cilicia. We're going to call it the old kingdom of Cilicia. And now think about that. At least to me, I like that solution. Why? Because it'll make certain people want to pay up. Okay, like, yeah, maybe if it's Western Armenia, you realize, hey, let's do it. Let's support it. But no, instead of that, they're using it as a political means of saying, hey, those lands used to belong to us. And so in the middle of all this human tragedy that's playing out right in front of our eyes, we're now bringing up old issues. Those lands used to belong to us. Well, you know what? California used to belong to Mexico. It did. I mean, what are we talking about here? Do you really, really think that somebody's going to sit there and say, oh, they belong to you, and here you go. Here you go. Do you really think that 100 years from now, you're going to be living there? No, you're not. The reality of all of this escapes everybody. And the human suffering is what people don't take account of. I shared this story briefly last week, but let me elaborate on it. In 1988, when the Armenian earthquake happened, this was in a region called Spitak Gyumri. It's toward the north of Armenia, northern Armenia, closer to the Turkish and Georgian borders. And when that earthquake happened, I remember specifically, in fact, I remember exactly what this article looked like. I read it in the paper. It was like a few days later. That the first responders, the first people who came to help the Armenians were the Turks. And the Turks didn't come there because they were our enemies or our friends. They came because they were people. They were right there. They were right there at the border. They hopped the fence and they came over to help out. 50,000 people had died during that earthquake. It was very similar to this one. Magnitude 6.7. This one was 7 point something. Yeah, whole point off. But it was similar in the sense that these buildings were built and people had stolen off of the top. In Gyumri, it was because of communism. And I remember the Soviet leader, Gorbachev, visiting there and just coming down on the system, on the communist system that would force people to take off of the top. So I remember the pictures, the videos that were coming out of there. He was just going through these apartment buildings, picking up the stones, and they were basically crumbling in his hands. They were sand. There was no cement put in there because somebody had taken off the cement and sold it on the black market. And this is what we're seeing over there. The contractors in Turkey, we're seeing that again play out over there. Yeah, the earthquakes happen, but you got to be prepared. And yeah, I understand. Sometimes you just can't be completely prepared. But when you look at this, you know, you see that a lot of it has to do with the human dimension to it. What people have done. Human greed. And so we come to the Lenten period where we start questioning these things. The greed that people have that causes these deaths. And so people are going in and out, like, how do you come to terms with this? Because at the end of the day, these scenes are coming into our house. We're looking at them. We're looking at them on our phones, on our apps, in the stories that are coming. And then at the end of the day, you can't just look at it and say, well, that's another story. You have to say, well, what's my reaction to it? And I'm very happy to tell you that we do have a solution for us within the Armenian community that I feel very comfortable with, and that's the Patriarchate of the Armenian Patriarchate in Istanbul. And knowing the head of it, the Patriarch himself, Archbishop Sahag, a man of faith, a man who has said that, okay, we have a system in place and we can take the money, we can use it, we can facilitate a rescue effort, a rebuilding, a humanitarian effort, whatever it is. And so our diocese, Archbishop Hovnan, has directed us to send money through the Patriarchate, and In His Shoes is doing exactly that. In His Shoes is just going right towards it. Because here, this is the other thing that I want to share with you. This is not a house. This is not a city block. It's not two blocks. It's not even a city. It's a whole area that's devastated. I've shared this with you in the past about the telethons that they run for Armenia. You know, they run a telethon for Armenia and the road that's going to be going. And they raise, you know, $10 million. And they go, look at that. We raised $10 million. $10 million. I want you to just do this visualization today, okay? Take a look at a city block, wherever your city is. And I could guarantee I know your cities if you're listening to me, because it means that you're connected to the net somewhere. Take a look at a city block and level an entire city block, okay? Now you tell me how many million do you need to repair that? How many million? And we're not talking about a city block here. We're talking about a country. I mean, these numbers are huge. And we talk about them. Well, should I send my $1,000 here or should I send it there? Just send it. Somebody's gonna benefit from it. Just send it. Don't worry about it. There's just so much tragedy right now. So many people that are hurting. And like I said, our In Issues, if you want to do it through In Issues, please do. But whatever, get involved. You can't just sit idly by. All right, that's the first half of today's show. The second half, we're going to do the same kind of thing, but in a different way. We're going to talk about getting it, okay? We're going to talk a little bit about that Super Bowl ad. Did you see it? About Jesus Gets Us. We take a break every week to play a song. A beautiful new album just came out yesterday, and it is by Zulal, one of my favorites. I've played them many times here on The Next Step, but now we have a whole new selection. This is off a new album called By the Shepherd's Clock, and a selection that I know you're going to love. Zula. Dalla, 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 boyit khurban. Dalla, 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 boyit khurban. Mech kugat paragir kargelut hayran. Yereset gar mirer bagnelut khurban. Vorgesen Istanbul sieht das Götten da. Vorgesen Istanbul sieht das Götten da. Wachnam das Chikas, du Schmannes Röntas. Wachnam das Chikas, du Schmannes Röntas. Dalla, 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 Boyit urban mech kukat para ke kergelut hayran yereset gar mire baknelut urban kesi posta khanan namat kesi kesi posta khanan namat kesi
Das nicht nur das passt sie jura bechari. Das Ningor spasetzi, jura bechari. Dalla dalla, dalla dalla, dalla bohi et korbar. Dalla dalla, dalla dalla, dalla bohi et korbar. Metschkuget paraget, körgelut heiran. Jereset karminet, paknelu korbar. Ach, Chiel, so Jan posta Ginega. Ach, Chiel, so Jan posta Ginega. Go hagite, kabanet perav. Go hagite, kabanet perav. Dalla, 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 boyit urban.
Daldala by Zulal. Zulal means clear. And you can't get any clearer than that, right? That is off of their newest, latest album called By the Shepherd's Clock. That is, like I said, just came out yesterday. I'm very excited to be able to play it today. Daldala, one of the nine songs on this album. Let me read to you what they've written about it. The sort of flower a child would draw, brightly colored star peering out of the green. The shepherd's clock is plucked by a young woman who walks the mountain alone, her hair floating in the wind. She tells time by the slant of shadows, the angle of the sun. She knows that the shepherd's clock opens only to the sun's direct light, closing even to the clouds. I don't know much more of the history on this album. Looking forward to reading the liner notes, but this was a type of flower that my grandmother would share with me. So it got a very emotional charge reading this little paragraph. Anyway, I am going to have a link not only to this album, this new album, but also to the entire Zulal catalog. I'll put a link to their website. I don't know how music gets distributed. It doesn't make sense how the monetization works these days. I really am out there. My first inclination when I saw this, I got to go buy the album, because not only do I want the album, but it's also supportive of the group. But then you find all these options for electronic distribution, electronic listening. Anyway, it is a new world. I'm adapting as best as I can. Been in it long enough to know that you gotta adapt. I will have a link on today's show notes, and do support these artists. They are incredible, especially this kind of artist. When you find Zulal, you've heard it. You've heard only the best. We are back to the second half of the next step. Yeah, I'm hoping you're back with me. Yeah, so I'm not using the royal we. I'm talking we, you and me. We're back. We're back for the second half. I'm going to share with you something that you guys as next steppers always get to enjoy, like the prelude to something that's coming up. I'm going to be sharing this tomorrow on my daily message, Armadoxy for today. I'm calling it Get It. And let's back up a little bit. Last Sunday, of course, was the Super Bowl. And, you know, Super Bowl is major, major activity here in the United States. We call it the football championship. And those of you listening in other countries, you know this. I don't need to tell you that, yes, we call what we call football is not what you call football. And we call that soccer over here. But football over here is this multi-million, if not billion-dollar event that takes place throughout the year with different playoffs and much like soccer, except it's much more padded. In fact, this last year when we got to watch the soccer playoffs, you think about that right away. Because when you watch football being played, it's a lot of padding, helmets, shoulder pads, knee pads. I mean, you could get as rough as you want in football and basically protected. Of course, that being said, this season also saw a player get a heart attack right on the field. That was horrible, tragic. I mean, tragic. Fortunately, he's doing well. And anyway, the end of the season came, and there was the Super Bowl, which is the final playoff between the different leagues, and they crowned the champion of the Super Bowl. And I think this was number 57, so it's an annual event that takes place, and it is huge in every respect. I mean, business-wise, game-wise, people-wise, celebrity-wise, and it is the ultimate display of athletics and dramatics at the same time. It's much more than a football game. The Super Bowl has become a phenomenon, and the ticket prices are high. Advertising prices are astronomical. Let me just share with you some of the numbers involved in this year's Super Bowl. This is the one that just took place last Sunday, okay? The average price of a ticket was $8,800, something like, let's say $9,000, okay? Average price. You want to go see a football game, $9,000, okay? Better not do it with a family of four. Might get a little cost prohibitive, right? The stadium holds over 70,000 people, and it was full. The cost of advertising, now take a little breath right now. How much possibly could an advertisement cost? It's like real estate, right? Location, location, location. Yes, advertising late night on Thursday, middle of the night, with nobody watching. Yeah, you can get that for pennies on the dollar. This one, are you ready for this? Advertising was $7 million for half a minute of time. That is correct. 30 seconds. $7 million. Why? Because, well, it's not a Thursday in the middle of the night. They had 113 million viewers. These are the stats that I just dug up this morning, you know, in preparing for today's show. I did a full statistical check on this. 113 million people were watching this throughout the world. Television, of course, streams, internet streams. And so, yeah, so they could get away with charging that kind of money for advertising. And it's all calculated. Let's not fool ourselves. You know, if somebody's going to spend money, they're going to spend that they're going to make over $7 million, many times over, in returns. That's how business is done. And you're saying, wait a minute, wait, is this, why is this being talked about in on the next step? Okay, take a breath, okay? We're going to get to it. Remember what Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. If these advertisers were paying this kind of money, that's where their treasure is, that's where their heart is. And that's good business, right? If you believe in something, you believe in a product, you spend the money. You advertise it. There's nothing wrong with that. If you believe in it, if your heart is there, then your treasure should be there as well. Put your treasure there and we know where your heart is. And you've got to figure this out. When we talk about the flow, we're in that flow constantly being bombarded. Think about it. If they're spending $7 million, that's just the airtime, by the way. That's not the salaries. That's not the production cost. Salaries of celebrities, huge, huge salaries. So one simple advertisement, a half a minute, may cost them millions of dollars, not just to air, but to produce it. And so you figure that if they're selling a bag of potato chips, if they're selling a can of beer, if they're selling a service, an internet service, whatever it may be, how many do they have to sell to recoup the cost of that commercial plus make their money? They've got it all calculated. As I said, they should. That's just good business. It's good sense, right? Luxury vehicles. Ooh, you should have seen them. You'd forget that we have a gas crisis. Oh, but they've taken care of that too. They've got electric vehicles now. Just beautiful luxury electric vehicles. And so this is what I'm saying. We've tuned in to this football game. And we're getting all this drama, too. You're getting all of these commercials that are coming at you. And then halftime, Rihanna played, and what a display. What a display of music and dancers. And let me just say it this way. I am so happy that I had the music that I had growing up. Anyway, you guys figure out the rest of it. I'm going like, what? What? Anyway, whatever. Yeah, it's exciting to see people flying in, coming in on these big slabs. But really, at a football game, what was this all about? Anyway, somebody's got it figured out, okay? That's the drama that comes with the athletics. Now, there was one other product. There was one other product that you have to wonder, like, what is the return on this one? Right, we figured like if somebody's going to sell you a bottle of Coke, that guy's figuring out that okay, if I'm going to spend $10 million in producing this one little commercial, I'm going to at least make 30, 40, 50, maybe 100 million back. So I've got to figure out how many bottles of Coke I need to sell to get that money back. I mean, you get the idea, right? Bottles, cans, or just Cokes, whatever it is. Whatever the product is, you've got to figure it out. What's your return? What's that rate? But there was one other product that was being sold. And it kind of made a commotion too, both good and bad. There were people on the right, people on the left, who did not like it. It was a commotion, definitely a commotion. The product? Jesus. Yeah, that was the product. A Christian website called He Gets It, He Gets Us, set up a beautifully orchestrated campaign of pictures and sayings of Jesus to bring the point home that He gets us. And it was really well done. In fact, today on today's show notes, I will have a link to their website. Check it out. I thought it was very nicely done. Very dramatic black and white pictures with some wording next to him, saying that Jesus gets us. And you know, this week, we in the Armenian church celebrated Vartan and Revont, these two brothers in Christ, so to speak, who went against all of the evil of the Persian Empire at the time. And we remember in the Battle of Vartan, it's a very special one for the Armenian people, and I won't go too much into it. Check out in the show notes. We'll put some links to previous broadcasts that we've done because it's a very, very important battle, not only for Armenians. I know we've got so many listeners who really the Armenian history is secondary, but it's a matter of the first time anywhere that people had to stand up for Christianity. They had to put it out on the line that no matter what, we're not going to forget about this faith. We're not going to turn our heads to this faith. And I always make the point that, you know, this was in 451. It's exactly 150 years after Christianity had been accepted in Armenia. And just interesting that within 150 years, how much it was a part and parcel of our lives. So much so that they were willing to go to battle. Not to change someone else, but to say that we will not change. Now, we'll listen to you, anything you want. And we will not impose our faith on anybody. But please don't mess with us. Don't mess with what we believe, the Battle of Vartanants. So on a week like this, when you see a Christian commercial on such a secular event like the Super Bowl, it makes you wonder, whoa, what's going on over here? And I was really excited because for me, Jesus was the first nonviolent revolutionary. He brought a revolution. And I saw that happening. I saw that happening in this commercial on the Super Bowl. He gets us. Now, that being said, if he gets us, what's the bigger question for us? Do we get him? And in a sense, that's been answered. Because when you look at this website, you see that you're looking in to see how he gets us. And as you're looking in, you're going to get him. You're going to figure out who he is. I think it's beautifully done, you know. But something very interesting happened afterwards. Criticism. Yeah, criticism, not from the usual cast of characters, though, not from the place where you'd expect. Not from the secular world either. From places you might not expect. Let me read this to you. This came out, the date on this is 2 days ago. It reads, "He gets us. Super Bowl Jesus commercial angers both left and right. Most Super Bowl adverts plug things like fizzy drinks and cars, but one of the most talked about commercials the day after the big game was selling Jesus, and it upset several different political tribes. Advertisements for the evangelical Christian website called He Gets Us have been shown on U.S. TV since last year during sporting events and the Grammys. The ads use striking black and white photographs of recent events to project Christian values onto modern life. They alternatively portray Jesus as a canceled influencer, a refugee, a struggling worker, and other archetypes." Isn't that interesting, huh? Isn't that interesting? You know how many times we've emphasized the point that it's the crucifixion that makes this story, because we can't understand resurrection. It's that crucifixion. Let me continue. "During the Super Bowl, the commercial brought together opposite ends of the ideological spectrum in outrage. Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, the left-wing Democrat congresswoman from New York City, tweeted, "Something tells me Jesus would not spend millions of dollars on Super Bowl ads to make fascism look benign." Woo! Meanwhile, Charlie Kirk, founder of the right-wing campus group Turning Point USA, said, "The adverts pander to liberals." He's previously called the campaign one of the worst services to Christianity in the modern era, and the people behind it, woke tricksters. Wow. What is going on here? I mean, it was just basically to say he gets us. But yeah, listen to me. This is exactly the story I've been sharing with you for years. Does it really... Who produces it really does matter, right? It does. If you get a story about a man biting into a burger and he bites into a rat, and I'm sorry if you're listening and eating something right now, but they bite into a burger and he's bitten into a rat, and you read this story, you'd say, horrible. Where did he eat that? Because I'm never going to have a burger there. And you find out it's at McDonald's. Oh, you go, I will never eat there again. Until you read the end of the story and you read the bite, Jack Box. Oh, wait, is that the Jack in the Box? Yeah, Jack Box. Must be Jack in the Box. Oh, so it has a twist to it, doesn't it? That story now, it's questionable. It's questionable. What do you mean he bit into a rat? Is that really something that happened? And it's the same thing with these commercials. People want to find out where they were from. And I'm telling you that actually look at it for what it is. Look at it and just see the burger that's there. And understand that there is a beautiful story that's being told. Yeah, there's people, and I'll put the link on today's show notes so you could read the entire article about the pros and cons, because it reveals who's behind what and everything. But what I'm going to share with you even more than that is this prelude to the Lenten season. Because during Lent, it's exactly the story of he gets us so that we get him. That is the Christian story. And that's what happens during Lent. We know he gets us. We know he understands us. We know he loves us. But what's important is, do we get him? Do we understand him? And by understanding how he gets us, we get a new perspective on how we should get him. And that's what the Lenten season is. This is intentional that I picked this topic today, because we start the Lenten season, and I'm giving you all kinds of tools. You have all the places to go where we're on the social medias, and of course we're at the mothership, epostle.net, where you'll find videos, where you'll find Lenten journey, you'll find daily messages. I say this because take advantage of the Lenten season to look out and see how you get him, how you understand Jesus, how you understand what God's love is all about. It is the season to do that. It's not about a commercial, about telling you what you should do. It's about you finding that answer, finding Christ in your own lives. I could tell you all I want till I'm blue in the face about the importance of doing that. These commercials can spend not only $100 million, they could spend billions. They're not going to change anything in your life until you decide that you're going to come face to face with that Christ. And in so doing, you start understanding why he loves you. You start understanding who he is, why that's so important, why it's important in our lives. And this Lenten season, I hope you will take advantage of the many programs that we have for you, because your spiritual well-being is on the line. And that, to me, is my return. What possibly could be the return on a program like this? He gets us. Think about it. What's the return on the Coke commercial? Well, they're going to sell more Cokes. What is the return on the He Gets Us commercial? The return is connecting you with the He, with who He is, Jesus Christ. And I think that's a beautiful return. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. All right, here's Susie. I'll be back in a couple moments with some parting shots.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Epostle.net is the voice and expansion of In His Shoes Ministry. We are committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at either the inhisshoes.org website or epostle.net. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you, all of you, for all of your love and prayers and all of your well wishes and just continuing being part of this ministry. We're going in all kinds of directions, and I need your patience and I need your understanding. Most of all, I need your prayers. Few quick announcements. Reclaim is coming up. That's going to be on March 25th. You heard our interview last week on The Next Step with Michael Gourgian of Amerigatsib, film producer, director, actor, and he has given us the rights to share this video. It is going to be screened at Reclaim on March 25th, so you may want to make sure that you get out there, okay? If you're in the Los Angeles area, this would be the place to be on March 25th. Also, on Sundays, next in the foreseeable future, people ask me where I'm at on these Sundays, and I have to let you know like a few weeks before, at least for the foreseeable future, next few weeks, I will be at the St. Gregory Armenian Church, which kind of is convenient for all of you that are far away because they do an excellent job of streaming the service. So please join me Sunday mornings. That's at 10:30 to 12:30 Pacific time. And we are on YouTube on the St. Gregory Pasadena channel. And I'll see if I could get a link on today's show notes. And as I said a few minutes ago, Lent starts this week, next Monday, and we're giving you all the tools to get through Lent. Please check it out on our website, epostle.net. Just do a search for Lent and you'll find videos, you'll find messages, you'll find all kinds of good stuff over there, okay? That's epostle, very easy to remember. That's apostle with an E. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. All right, that does it for today's show. I want to just let you know today happens to be Vartanants, a very special celebration. I didn't speak much about it today. I think I mentioned it once, but that's because we are doing daily shows every single day on epostle.net. Make sure you check out this week's daily messages. They're under Armadoxy for today, because I speak about Vartan, about Revant, and their importance in our lives. Okay, I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of my producer, Susie, and myself, this is Father Voskin, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.
Stand by for disclaimer.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding.
Off Balan Top Visits.